Hello, Cape Crusaders, and welcome to the very first edition of Batman, the Animated Series Podcast. I'm your host, Alex Robson, and with me, as always, is my co-host, my brother, professional comic book artist and writer, and the crime to my alley, it's Mr. Will Robson. Say hello, Will.
I'm surprised you didn't do Batman to my Robin, you did crime to my alley. That's an interesting choice.
Well, I thought it was the first episode, and how did Batman's journey begin? But in the crime alley.
But in the crime alley.
I was going to say in the mean streets of Crime Alley, but I think that's in the name.
I think it's a street in the mean street of Crime Alley.
In the mean street, yeah. So, look, all right, I thought it was pretty good.
Well, you fucked it up already, bud, but let's keep going.
So for everyone that's joining us and doesn't know us from our other podcast, Spider-Man, the Animated Series Podcast, we have decided to do the next one, which would be Batman, the Animated Series Podcast, which was, if not more watched than Spider-Man, I'd say, when we were kids.
I feel like we watched them equally, but I think as you got older, you gravitated more to rewatching Batman the Animated Series, especially over me. Like, I remember you were so excited when they were being released on DVD in your weird year where you, like, failed out of uni and came back home and you, like, got obsessed with, like, Batman the Animated Series and buying it and all this stuff. But, yeah. Like, look, the plan always was with our Spider-Man show to review the whole thing, have special guests on, which was fantastic. You know, we achieved something pretty amazing there, and we've committed to finishing that series. But the reason we're releasing this sort of teaser episode is because it is today the 30th anniversary of the release of Batman the Animated Series. So what a better day to announce our next podcast, you know?
Absolutely, yeah. Happy 30th birthday, Batman the Animated Series. And yes, to touch upon it, I am a mega fan of this show. I love Spider-Man the Animated Series, but I am obsessed with this show. And we started with Spider-Man because there are a few Batman ones out there, but now I feel like we know what we're doing, and we can.
Yeah, but we love Spider-Man anyway. That's a great show, and that's the reason why we made the podcast to begin with.
Absolutely. So yeah, we're going to dive into Batman next. This is our first episode, as Will said, but then we will probably start releasing our episode reviews and all of the other episodes we're going to cover on looking at Batman the Animated Series in the new year, as we've got about 18 episodes left of Spider-Man. So don't worry, we will certainly continue and finish Spider-Man and review that show, and then we'll go straight into this one. But we thought we'd give you a little teaser and a little look into why we love this show and talk about this show in this first episode. So, yeah, I suppose my first question to you, Bud, is what does Batman the Animated Series mean to you?
Oh, God. Well, it's I do look at it as the best adaptation of the character.
Yes.
It was a perfect storm, really, of actors, art style, and writing coming together masterfully, really. And that's why it's really stood the test of time. And there's interest in continuing, you know, with creators of that series in a new format, because it is just that good. I mean, Bruce Timm's art style was very influential for me as a comic book artist, as it was for, you know, millions of other people. What an iconic art style, right?
I mean, 100%. Like, whenever I draw Batman when I'm doodling, I'm drawing Bruce Timm's version.
And not even just Batman. Like, everyone, like, loves the Bruce Timm style, and they'll, you know, so many people have copied it and turned it into their own. And it is amazing. And then you got people like Paul Dini, like one of the best Batman writers, if not the best Batman writer of all time.
Yeah.
I mean, he created wrote those first two Arkham games as well, which are some of the best Batman as well. And that game also included voice actors from Batman the Animated Series, because it's just a winning formula, you know?
Yeah.
The other thing missing from that game was Bruce Timm.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, yeah, you hit it on the money. It's just the definitive version completely. And also, of course, we've got to mention, for those that, again, don't know us and don't know you, and as I mentioned up top, you are a professional comic book artist and writer, and we thought this was also pretty poignant to do this, not only for the 30th anniversary of the show, but because you've just drawn professionally for the first time the character of Batman. So why don't you talk to us about that, your experience drawing Batman, and also how this show maybe influenced that?
Yes, well, I got to be the artist on Batman.
Oh crap!
I forgot the title.
Wasn't it Legends of something? Or
it's not? I want to always say Legends of the Dark Knight, but it's not. Yeah. Oh, Urban Legends.
Urban Legends. There we go. Yeah.
What a great way to introduce like the book I've been working on. I spent like 3 months drawing that thing. Yes, Batman Urban Legends number 19.
Yes.
Apologies to my editors for completely forgetting the title of the fucking book I spent ages drawing. Anyway, it was my, you know, this whole year has been my first step into working with DC. I worked with them on Earth Prime, which was a tie-in to a major event that has to do with the CW universe, you know, the Flash and mm-hmm. Arrow and all that stuff. So I sort of cut my teeth there, and then they offered me a Batman book. And I was so excited, obviously, because it's my favorite comic book universe character of all time. Drawing that universe was like, I didn't need, usually I have to do a lot of studying and referencing and all this, that, and the other. I really had to do none of that. The only thing I was referencing was Batman the Animated Series, because I got to draw Killer Croc in the issue, and they wanted me to draw Killer Croc in a certain way, but it was an open, you know, you can do what you want. So I was like, right, well, I'm just going to draw the Animated Series Killer Croc, but, you know, a little more with my influence. Like, what would my version of the Animated Series Croc look like?
So that's awesome.
And like, there's so many other things I did, like the bat. Like, I got to draw the Batmobile. I just combined the Animated Series Batmobile with the 89 Batmobile because those are my two favorites. And there's so many other little Easter eggs in the book that will have to do the Animated Series, this, that, and the other. Like, it's just, it was a great time. And I know I've got more DC work being discussed after I finish this Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle thing that I'm writing and drawing. And I'm looking forward to it. And I really hope it's back in the Bat universe, because honestly, like, if you listen to our last Spider-Man podcast, I talked about how I was sort of trying to, in the future, retire from drawing interiors. But I don't think, when it comes to Batman, I don't think that I would do that, because, like, anytime you get offered to draw that, it's amazing. And it's the best art I've ever drawn in my life. Like, I had so much fun doing it, and I can't wait to do more.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't wait for that to hit the shelves, obviously. Being your brother has its perks, and I've got to see some really cool pages that you've drawn, and I can't wait for that to get out there and for the public, especially because Batman is such a huge character to both of us, just like Spider-Man in its own right. When you drew Spider-Man professionally, it was the same feeling. But yeah, I mean, I feel like this show has influenced us just in as storytellers as well, right? Like, I know I'm not a professional, but we've crafted so many different stories together over our time. And I mean, it goes back to playing with the toys, right? Like, crafting our own stories as we're playing with the Batman, the Animated Series toys, which of course we're going to do a retrospective, at least one episode on the toys, if not multiple. And yeah, it really influenced how I tell stories and how I visualize things. It's just it resonated so much when I was watching that show as a kid.
Oh, side note, September 13th is the release date of my Batman comic, Batman Urban Legends 19.
Go pick that shit up.
That's right.
Yeah, okay, so next question then. What episodes of this show stand out in your head?
I know exactly, because I didn't plan, you know, I haven't pre-prepared for any of this. He's like, do you want to know what I'm going to ask you? I was like, nope, I just want to do this. The ones that immediately stand out to me are, I don't know which one to choose first. All right, the first one I'll choose is...
It's not a list in any order, don't worry.
The Mad Hatter episode, when he's being tricked in his dreams that he is not...
Hell
you
yeah.
Know, you know, that his parents are alive and everything's all right, and he figures it out by opening the book, and he beats him up on that clock tower. I remember as a kid being like, this is really fucking good.
It's insanely good. So that episode is called Perchance to Dream.
Okay.
It's an amazing episode. And also, just to say, because that's on my list as well, that episode for at least 20 years, I'm not kidding you, if not a little more, I would tell people, oh, well, you can't read in your dreams because you read with the left side of your brain and you dream with the right side. So when I saw that as a kid, I was like, holy shit, that's amazing. What a cool fact. And I was saying that whenever I had the chance to kind of sound smart when it was related to what we were talking about. Found out that's total bullshit.
Yeah, complete bullshit.
Absolute it's rubbish.
Still fun though.
Like, and I found that out like 5 years ago. Not
really?
That long ago. Yeah.
So there's that one. The one where it's the what if future of Barbara Gordon falling off of the building, and then the police hunt Batman
over the edge,
and Gordon like hates him, and that's incredible.
And Bane and that fight on the rooftop at the end. Yeah, it's absolutely incredible. Throws him into the bat signal. So cool.
The first time I ever saw The Dark Knight Returns in any sense was through Batman the Animated Series, with when they all of the kids telling the stories of Batman, which is just such a great...
This is interesting. There's a lot of new animated series in your choice.
What, two so far?
Well, okay, yeah, well, two out
and then,
of three.
And then I've got one more, which is the old one, so it's even.
Okay.
And the last one is The Laughing Fish, which I think is one of the best Joker things of all time.
Ever. Yeah, I think... So Laughing Fish is on my list as well. It's at the top. It's my favorite episode. Mm-hmm. It's also the episode where if I was introducing anyone to this show, it is the episode I would show them. If they don't know anything about Batman the Animated Series and they've never really seen it, I did that with our mum and our dad when I came over to visit from the US when I was still living in the States and you guys were living in the UK.
Oh, so as an adult then?
Yeah, as an adult. I was like, do you remember?
As like a 25-year-old man.
I sat them down and you sat down too and we watched The Laughing Fish because it was like, hey, you remember this show? We watched it as kids. And I remember our dad being like, oh, this is better than I remember. And he loved like Mark Hamill Joker because he loves, you know, how evil he sounds and stuff. So yeah, that is definitely the sort of best episode as far as like it doesn't delve too much into drama and everything, which I love that this show does. But it's just such a great Batman versus Joker episode. Really fun plot with the fish and the copyright scandal. I love all of that. So that's really cool. Are there any other episodes, or should I just list some of mine?
There's tons.
All right, I'll list some of mine.
I wanted to give my top ones that have stuck with me, like going forward. You know,
yeah. So being a mega fan that I am, I told over this, and I have quite a list because I was like, this has to go on it. But
you're gonna have to narrow it down to your top four, like I did.
Oh, I can't do that. No, don't make rules like that. Don't censor me.
No, rules have been made, bud. You gotta do it.
No, you can't censor me.
Well, I'm not gonna spend the next 40 minutes hearing you.
No.
What my brother does, everybody, is when he tells you something he likes, he'll just suddenly tell you the whole plot of it, even though he's like, oh, you know what? I just rewatched this movie, bud, and it's great. And then he'd be like, so the opening scene is this, and then they go and do this. And remember the part when they do this in the second act? I'm like, yes, I've seen the fucking movie. I don't need a run-by-run play of fucking Kill Bill or something like that. Like,
But I feel like this podcast will be a better place for me to do that because I'm
talking. Why don't you say that when we do episode reviews and then you can run down the plot?
Well, okay. So On Leather Wings is one of my favorites. It's the first episode. We had that on VHS when we were kids at our grandmother's house. And it just sets the tone of how dark the show is.
Does it also play into your weird, like, childhood born phobia of, like, people morphing into monsters?
Yeah, it's like transphobia, I think it's called, or something like that. Or like, maybe it's not transphobia. Maybe that's something
else.
That
might be something
terrible. That might be something terrible, yeah. But I'm basically, if you haven't listened to Spider-Man again, I have a fear, like the movie The Fly. Yeah, if someone transforms into a monster and it's hideous and grotesque, it just creeps me out. And it's not where they end up. It's that transformation that they go through where they like lose themselves in that process and they're just like this mindless creature. That's messed up. And that's why on Leather Wings. I mean, on Leather Wings when he's like, it's in me, Batman.
Yeah, I think that used to actually scare you as a child, didn't it?
Yeah, when that transformation is scary.
You don't have that feeling though, because I love, my big shtick is zombies, but they do transform from regular people into monsters, but I guess that transformation for you isn't like, it has to be like, no, they have to turn into like a non-human form, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Some like weird combo with an animal or something like that.
Gotcha.
Joker's Favor, another great Joker episode for sure, is a wonderful one. I love that whole episode. I can't wait to review
Joker's Favor, I think, is actually the best Joker episode.
I mean, I wouldn't, I like Laughing Fish a bit more.
Score in that is amazing, and yes. The plot is amazing, and it captures what I find really scary about the Joker, which is like when he's stalking him in the car, like that is frightening. Like that is the Joker
in the woods.
It's like when Scott Snyder had him hiding under the bed in his Batman run. It's like that's my type of Joker, where it's like a fucking scary dude is following you, not like a laughing maniac that's shooting people randomly. Yeah, that's not scary to me. That's fun, but like the Joker following you in his car, like that's frightening.
Like a stalker. Like a now, what are you going to do to me? I love that so much where he meets him in the woods.
No, it was okay, Jokers. Or whatever he says.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
What does he say?
Okay, he does. He says, okay, Jokers. And then he sees him and he's like, lost a little weight, lost a little hair too. I love
Doesn't he look in the rear view mirror of his car, and it's just like a close up of like Joker's like eyes looking like in
the
car.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch these episodes, man. They're so good.
Our mum liked that song because she played it so much. It got stuck in her head, and she'd be like cooking, and she'd be like,
The Two-Face two-parter, those are great, both episodes, great way to kind of put a spin on that character. Wow. They're amazing.
That's some of the best Batman television, absolutely, that two-parter.
Hell yeah.
And not to just sidetrack, but one thing I said when I said it was a perfect storm, I didn't even mention the amazing music in the show, which is just so beautiful and iconic for the character. And way to go from Batman 89, which already had an iconic score, soundtrack by Danny Elfman in so many different ways, to then create your own iconic music. It's just brilliant.
So Shirley Walker, the great late Shirley Walker, sadly she passed away from cancer in early 2000s. So soon after doing the DC Animated Universe, because it ended around that time. But she was one of Danny Elfman's main composers.
Yes.
And she worked with him on Batman and Batman Returns and several other projects. So the DNA of Batman and Batman Returns, which this show, you know, it was, besides obviously being influenced by Superman's Fleischer cartoon, was also heavily influenced by Burton's Batman. That was one of the major things that played a role in this.
It's why it got made.
It's why it got made, absolutely. And so that's why they're like, okay, let's get that sound of Batman, that theme and everything. But Shelley Walker took that sound and, she just... It's almost like she improved it in a way, because she had so much more room to breathe with all these characters. And every single villain has a leitmotif. And I think that's amazing. I think that's so... And for anyone that doesn't know what a leitmotif is, basically a character's theme tune that, you know, represents them on screen or them coming onto screen. It's just... It is... I can't wait to review the music. There's so much music that I don't think we can just... condense it down into an episode. It's almost like when we do an episode review, we should talk about the music of that episode as well.
I'm so happy to do that.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to go, because the music I listen to a lot on my Spotify. I've got several playlists, and I love the Batman the Animated Series.
I just see
music.
You at like the gym, like working out to like the Joker, like ba ba da ba dum. Damn, I'm like lifting and be like, meh, meh, meh. 1, 2, 3.
Other episodes we've got: If You're So Smart, Why Aren't You Rich? Which is the first Riddler episode, which I love. I love the way the Riddler looks in the show. I like how he's this like evil genius, and it's involved with the game. I think that's brilliant.
I don't like other interpretations of Riddler, even in the comics. I really prefer the animated series version of him. A lot of people are now translating him into like the misunderstood social outcast, which I don't think like it's an interpretation of the character for sure.
Sure.
But you know, that's kind of what they did with Jim Carrey, and then this is definitely what they've done with the most recent film.
Yeah.
But I like the like I'm so fucking smart, like, but in not in a like no one understands me type of way, but like I don't know what I'm
an evil genius, right? Like I'm smarter than you, and why I love doing
and I'm gonna prove it.
Yeah. Why I love doing this is not only to get the money that I'm trying to get, because that's what his schemes are, right? In this animated series, it's always about scheming them out of money and getting what he thinks he's worth. but also, yeah, proving how ridiculously smart he is, and that he's smarter than even Batman, who's the greatest detective in the world. I love all of that.
And I feel like a lot of, like, you know, you look at Jim Carrey's and the most recent one, that's not his motivation at all in either of those movies. Jim Carrey's one is what, like the brain thing, so he can have facts on people.
Yeah, I mean, he's trying to. And then he's got a chip on his shoulder because of Bruce Wayne. Yeah, he wants.
And then the Matt Reeves one is because he's basically like woke, right?
Well, it's more he's scarred, woke Gotham. Yeah, exactly. Like, let me show you what Gotham's underbelly
is. Which is, and like, that definitely works, trust me, for the Riddler, that idea. But I just miss, like, I miss the guy who knows that Batman is Bruce Wayne, but he's so full of himself that he's the smartest man that he won't tell anybody.
Yeah, I know.
So that's in the greatest but in this riddle show, of all. That's in just...
In the show, what I love in this show is that episode where... he ends up in Arkham at the end. I can't remember what the episode is called, and I won't go into all the plot details, but he's in Arkham, and Batman escapes the room because there was an explosion, and he doesn't know how Batman did it. And he's like, I have to know! Mm. He's just screaming because it's a riddle that he hasn't solved, and it drives him mental. I love that aspect as well. Yeah. Where it's like,
and you know what? I really love the episode. I loved it as a kid when... Batman and Robin are like in the video game maze thing.
What is Reality is the name of that episode.
I loved that as a kid.
Yeah, it's like Tron almost, right? The movie Tron.
But I tell you what, before Riddler came in, there was that other character that was kind of Riddler-esque, where it was like he was like tasked to capture Batman and his cape, like, and everything.
The cape and cowl conspiracy.
I didn't appreciate that until an adult seeing that. Where I was like, I think that's one of the best episodes of the show as well. It's very, very good.
It is very good. You're right.
And it has that great shot of Batman when he smashes in through the, what's it called?
It's a two-way mirror.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. He's in like a greenhouse on a rooftop. And he's in silhouette with like glass falling, and it's always stuck with me.
Oh, I see. I thought you were talking about, there's a very funny part to the episode where he breaks a two-way mirror and he's got his cape over his face because he gave up his cowl, and he goes, he does like an angry, a really long groan. Yeah, it's very funny. Other episodes on my list, Almost Got Him and Trial, both like,
oh my god. Yeah, I'm sorry. Almost Got Him is actually at the top of my list. That is the best episode of Batman the Animated Series by far. Because not only do you have the fun of getting all the tiny stories of all these different villains, you have the amazing twist that Batman's been Killer Croc the whole time. That is the best episode of Batman the Animated Series.
It's very good.
That's my favorite one.
Yeah, it's very good.
How did I forget that? I don't know, but I'm unprepared. So,
well, that's why I listed them. And you're like, this is what he does. He lists all these episodes, and I don't want to sit here for 40 minutes.
No, not
you're having a nice time.
Not list.
Aren't you?
It's you like. So the first scene is this, and it's Joker up there, and all this stuff.
Well, I'll save that for the episode reviews. Also, we've got Trial. Like I said, that's another great.
Oh my god, the Trial!
Yeah, another great villain.
I think the show's really good, but Is the Trial the one where the secret villain is like the judge and it's Two-Face? Because I liked that as well.
Joker is... No, that's...
Joker's the... Guilty! When he comes out immediately. That's still one of the best Joker lines of all time.
It's so good. Oh, God. I love that so much. No, the one you're thinking of is New Animated, where Two-Face plays the judge as well. It's another amazing exploration into the psyche of these villains. That's what the show does so well.
I've never seen as good of an adaptation of Two-Face either in any other form.
I agree. Yeah, absolutely. House and Garden, do you remember that episode where Poison Ivy looks to be rehabilitated and have a family and like everything's okay? She's got like a husband and kids. But actually,
they're all like
plant
green
monsters.
Yeah, yeah.
And they age quickly, and they go from like youth to adult to then like monster. That episode again is another one that stuck with me. Is like, that's messed up. It's like a horror show when they go down into that basement, Batman and Robin do, and they discover what she's been up to. It's really messed up, and also a great Poison Ivy episode. Great Poison Ivy in general. Like, she's so good in this show. The Strange Secret of Bruce Wayne with Hugo Strange and figuring out Batman's identity and auctioning it off to the Joker, Penguin, Two-Face. I love that episode so much. I think it's absolutely brilliant. I think it's really good. You're like kind of nodding your head.
Right.
Agreement. Yeah. Oh, I think.
But again, I haven't watched, you watch these continuously throughout the years. Probably every single year you have a run through of it.
Yeah.
I haven't watched Batman the Animated Series besides the few episodes I watched the other day when we decided we should do this podcast, because I was like, wow, the show really is still incredible. I think the last time I watched Batman the Animated Series is when you moved back to England, which is now like nearly 10 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a long
and
time.
I've periodically watched a few episodes because anytime I'm with you, like you might have one on in the background or something like that.
Yeah.
And if it pops up on like Facebook, like the other day, the trial popped up on my Facebook and it was, I sent it to you because I was just cracking up at the Joker the moment he comes out as the judge and slams that hammer down and just says, guilty! It's just still to me one of the funniest jokes. Also, like, it's very hard to actually have funny comedy in a kids' show as well. That holds up.
And Mark Hamill just nails it. Mm. I realized the other day, I quote the Joker way more than I know from this show.
Oh, you do?
Like, yes, indeedy do. I say that all the time. I say, the other day, I was packing for my job, and I forgot something, and I went, hold it, hold it, hold it! Like, there's so many things I do. Or, don't touch me, old man, I don't know where you've been. I love that. And then,
of course... You always say, like, well, that was fun. Who's up for Chinese? When like, you're in an awkward situation.
I love that so much. Yeah, I quote that character way more. And Mark Hamill is just the best Joker ever. And now, obviously, everyone knows that now, but he really is. Yeah, he's just... He'll never be beat, in my opinion. There's been great Jokers, but he is by far the best. Okay, so some more questions for you. What are some of your favorite characters from the show? I mean, we kind of covered some of those in just talking about episodes. But...
I'll also say it's the best ever Alfred we've ever had in anything ever.
Hell yeah, you're right.
And I think he's complete. I think he's underappreciated. I think he's amazing in the show. I just like a posh old Englishman as Alfred, and apparently that's too much to ask for nowadays.
I know. I mean, ever since Michael Goff, we haven't had that. Like, but Efren Zimbalist Jr., who does the voice of Alfred, also the voice of Dr. Octopus on Spider-Man the Animated Series, which is sometimes you can hear it in the German accent that he does. But absolutely the best Alfred we've ever had. And I feel like he is Bruce's father figure in this. I've not watched a movie where I felt like, that dude raised that boy into a man and like has to watch him go out and fight criminals every night.
And he's
like,
funny.
And he's funny.
I drew you a bath. Like that still stuck with me.
Oh, I love it. Or dining in tonight, sir, when he brings the laughing fish.
He has the greatest little quips in it. And they, of course, like, yes, it's true. I am the Batman. Like, oh, it's so good. Look, we could keep doing this, but really, I will say that every one of these characters, to me, is the quintessential version of the character.
Yeah.
There's not a duff one in the bunch.
No.
They're so good that new characters were created, like Harley Quinn, which have now become a staple of that universe in general.
Yeah.
And I know this is something that you always say, but it's true. In this show, when I'm reading a comic book, the voices of the characters are the ones that I hear in my head from this show.
Absolutely. Yeah, 100%. I always hear all of these voices when I read those characters. Well, what about like favorite set designs from the show or vehicles or gadgets?
Well, Gotham City is beautiful in this. I mean, all of the backgrounds. Like, I know it's pretty famously known now that the backgrounds were actually drawn on black paper to create just continuous darkness throughout the show, which is just a pretty heavy metal badass thing to do to begin with.
Yeah, it really is.
But the... the aesthetic of the show, like delving into that noir, it's kind of like a neo-noir because it has all the look and feel of something that could have been from the 40s or 50s from a detective novel. Like, look at the cars, look at the clothes, the buildings, like everything has an old school vibe, but it's set in what could be modern day, what could be the future. It's definitely not from the past, but it looks like the past, which is something I've always appreciated. And a lot of people are like, I don't get that. I think that's stupid. I'm like, well, maybe that's just like the aesthetic of Gotham, right? Like you go there, like, you know,
it's timeless as well, right? Like we can always come back to it and be like, oh, this looks dated now. I don't think this show ever looks dated. I mean, sometimes the animation, but that kind of gives it its charm. But the actual sets and designs, it never looks dated because it's timeless. It's great.
Also, Batman's the world's greatest detective. It is a detective story from a series called Detective Comics. So the fact that it's owning like old noir is just perfect.
Yeah, absolutely. What about vehicles and gadgets?
Yeah, it's one of the best Batmobiles. I still love the 89 one, I'm not going to lie. Like,
yeah.
It's iconic, but I don't really think of the show and think of gadgets, to be honest.
Well, I like the... My favorite gadget is the grappling hook, because the way it looks, like, you could grab it and it's got that little piece on the end and the claw that, like, springs open. I love the look of the grappling
hook. I'll say that the Foley in the show, for all his stuff, is amazing. Like, the throwing of the batarang, the...
Yes.
And the grappling hook... The way that goes off is just the best.
Volume. Yeah, the sound. The sound design is amazing in this show. Absolutely. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And the Batmobile, like, starting up, and that, like, gurgling, like, yeah, diesel engine.
And just even in the sound of the Batcave, like the in the Batcave.
Yes, like, yes, and the bats screeching and flying around with their wings flapping. Yeah, I think you're so right. That's another thing that, like, we should maybe explore, because the sound design is incredible in this. And then one of my little favorite things with vehicles is the bat cycle, but not the bat cycle itself, the little bat helmet that's shaped like Batman's cow that goes over it, and it just looks like a chunky cow.
I think that was a choice made for toys, right?
Yeah, it's got to be. Yeah, because that's like, that's perfect to drop on Batman's head as like an additional
thing.
It's
like, we can't have Batman driving without a helmet, because that would make kids suggest that they should be riding their bicycles with their helmets on.
Yes.
So we'll put a helmet on him, but it needs to slip over the Batman toy that they already own. So it needs to be a bat cow shaped helmet.
It's so interesting you say that, though, because although you're right, like, they want to send the right message to kids, this show did break a lot of the rules or push the boundaries. Like, unlike any other show, like we talk about on Spider-Man, how there was a lot of censorship for most cartoons of that time. In fact, all of them. But this show, for some reason, maybe because it was Batman, maybe because of what they were putting together, but they showed characters punching people in the face. They showed broken glass. They used actual guns and shot actual bullets. I remember, it's crazy.
I remember, I don't know why they disappeared, but there used to be these great Kevin Smith interviews on his podcast, Fat Man on Batman, with all these different comic creators and writers that have been a part of the Batman universe. It's why I decided to become a comic book artist in the first place, because I heard Jim Lee and Greg Capullo's interview talking about, like, oh, I spent like 2 or 3 years knuckling down on art and I broke into the business. I was like, well, that's exactly what I'm going to do. And it worked. But there was an interview with Paul Dini, and he talked about, like, I've made every kid's show you can think of. I helped create He-Man. I, like, worked on G.I. Joe, Looney Tunes, all this stuff. Never once did I set out to make a kid's show. I just wanted to tell stories. So for Paul Dini, his goal was, like, it's never for kids. Never. Like, he always gave kids credit. He's like, why treat them like children? Like, they're smart enough to enjoy good content regardless if it's tailored to them or not. Like, sure, it will be age appropriate for them, even though if you look at it today, it definitely would not be for kids.
Sure.
With, like you said, with guns and all this other stuff. But it's not, you know, it's not like he was making it for 30-year-old men either. He was just creating Batman.
Yeah, and it's amazing, because it didn't change our views as kids. Like, we were the prime age for this show, and we weren't, like, more violent or anything, you know, and there was a lot more violent movies out at the time. I think it really did balance it really well, and kind of, as you said, it didn't cater to us, but we could follow along and really enjoy it, and almost felt like, I felt appreciative even at the time of being like, these are stories that, like, they're not trying to dumb down because I'm a child.
I think as a child, you don't realize that, but I think I remember as a child being like, there's something about this show that's not like everything else.
Yes.
And I remember I was like, is it just cool? Like, is Batman just cool? And this whole thing is, universe is cool.
Well, he is, but yeah.
And yes, the answer is yes.
Yeah. But,
it's just because, it wasn't. And Spider-Man the Animated Series did the same thing. He wasn't telling the children as well. I mean, Jesus Christ, the amount of freaking Shakespeare references in that show. No kid's going to understand that. But that show was made to make action figures and sell action figures, where this show was, like, Paul Dini, the moment he heard they were signed to make it, he just jumped off me, just like, I'm I want to be a part of this because he loves the character so much. There's a lot of passion behind it. And
they attracted a lot of writers as well because of what they were allowed to do. Because I've seen some interviews where writers were approached and they're like, yeah, I want to write good Batman stories, but I don't want to have to do it with like laser guns and have to avoid, you know, avoid death or using the word kill, death or die and stuff. And they're like, no. On this show, we're using guns. We're doing this.
Mafia in this show.
They had them. Yeah, they had the mob. It's crazy. It's amazing. So the show was drawn and animated entirely on black paper, as you said, and they created the term Dark Deco, which I think is amazing.
Deco, that's amazing. I never heard that.
Combination of Art Deco and film noir. That's where that comes from. To me, this was the first time an actor playing Bruce Wayne and Batman. We haven't really talked about Kevin Conroy because he is 100% the best Batman we've ever had. And this is the first time that both Batman and Bruce Wayne was approached as Batman being the true identity and Bruce Wayne being the mask persona. I think that's a brilliant approach from Conroy, something that no other actor had done before, and totally nailed it. Absolutely nailed it. I love it so much. It's just so perfect. And also, it depicts him as a playboy and like a billionaire as well, and just a philanthropist and totally different.
And he does a great job of the separation of voice tone from Bruce Wayne to Batman. I love like happy-go-lucky Bruce, like, well, hey there, Harvey. How's it going there, honey? Like, you know, just like, well, this is a really cool thing I'm looking at. I'm Batman in the cave. Like, it's completely different.
And I mean, you say Harvey, and I always think of Batman going, Harvey, no. Yeah, I mean, he's just so good. He really is. He's just an incredible Batman. And maybe, you know, our goal with this show, just like Spider-Man, was to bring on guests and people that worked on the show or were influenced by the show. Maybe one day, maybe... You know, and how many?
Bloody well, hope so. I don't want to just sit here chatting to you. I want to talk to people that actually worked on this show.
Well, I'm the one that finds these people. So
yeah, well, get to work, bud. Jesus Christ! No one gives a shit about us two just chatting to each other. Our show was a success not only because it was us, you know, breaking it down, but because we actually had huge start. We had the creator of the fucking show on our podcast so
recently. I'm Spider-Man.
Call up Paul Dini. I'm sure it's Paul Dini at AOL.com. Send him an email. P Dini at AOL.
P Dini.
Just, that's his rap name.
His gangster name. Yeah, P Dini.
P Dini.
That's so good.
The animated series coming at you.
Well, speaking of P Dins, obviously, as you said, he created Harley Quinn. But we've also in the show had quite a few other characters created for the show. We've got Red Claw. We've got that ninja Coyote Ken. We've got Tigress, that giant cat man. The Sewer King, which is possibly one of the worst episodes of this show. Officer Rene Montoya, who's used in quite a lot of other things.
I love Rene Montoya.
Me too. The villain Lockup, which I thought was a really cool
villain.
Yep. And Andrea Beaumont, obviously also known as the Phantasm in Mask of the Phantasm.
Great villain as well.
It's a great villain. And there's loads of other additional side characters for story purposes.
What a, you know, great female characters being established in this.
Yes.
Like all of the female characters created in this are memorable.
Yeah, they really are. Yeah, they're not just kind of thrown in there. They are really memorable and they stand out in their own way. And even had like episodes a lot of episodes solely focused on them and their story and their drama and their struggles. Like I love the team up between Harley and Ivy and like them expressing female power in that episode and like, you know, really trying to break away from being like a sidekick or a side villain. I think that's great.
Well, that's just Harley Quinn's arc in a nutshell, is going from the sidekick to the individual.
Yeah.
But it's a show that's not really about damsels in distress either. It's good.
Yeah. Talia al Ghul, is another one. There's loads of Catwoman, obviously.
The best Batgirl as well, hands down.
Yeah.
My favorite Barbara Gordon.
Yeah, me too. And this show reinvented Batman characters such as Count Vertigo, the Clock King, Clayface.
I love the Clock King.
And Mr. Freeze. Obviously, Mr. Freeze is the big one. Yes,
and Mr. Freeze is the complete like upheave from the show.
Yeah.
You said Clayface. Why? What was Clayface before the show?
Well, he was a combination of different things, but they never had him like addicted to a substance that was like change his face, and then he was force-fed it by the gangsters and then becomes this hideous monster. He's been an actor before, he's been other things, but to have him like...
This solidified his origin.
Yes, yes, it did.
Fun fact, Clayface is the first Batman Universe character I ever drew for DC Comics.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Voiced by Ron Perlman in the show.
Which, well, you're going to get a voice.
That was the other thing about the show, is it attracted so many
Ron
actors.
Perlman at AOL.com, send him an email.
But it attracted so many actors, like legit actors. It was almost like when Batman 66 came out, everyone wanted to be on that show because they had kids and it was fun and it was big and it was a great way to like pop in and like do a cameo. And that happened again with this, in this show. There were so many actors that pop up in this show that are really well-known voice actors or just actors out that didn't do voice work but lent their voice because they were recognizable or because they wanted to do a little bit and they were allowed on. And I think that's just kind of demonstrates how amazing the show is as well, is that it attracted that much attention. Did you know there's a lost episode of this show?
No, I didn't.
There is 16 minutes of an animated segments in the video game The Adventures of Batman and Robin, which was for the Sega CD, sometimes referred
It's a great game.
Yeah, it's sometimes referred to as the lost episode of the series.
I still have never gotten past the first mission of that.
Really?
You're driving the Batmobile and you have to like get there in time. I've never got there in time.
Right, so it came out early 1990s. The sound, color, and story are not quite the same quality of the actual program itself, the TV series, but Sega did not have to follow some of the censorship rules of the show. So the fights are more violent, apparently, and more brutal. And many of the show's voice actors even reprised their role for the game.
I remember sending you like clips of it because I was playing it.
I don't remember this at all. This game must have passed me by when I was
kid. I don't think you even knew that the Sega CD existed, right?
No, I don't know what it was, yeah. But yeah, lost episode because technically there's voice actors playing their characters from the show. 16-minute lost episode in the game.
It passed you by as a kid because we didn't own a games console until the PlayStation 1 was our first one.
Yeah, I think so.
And that was disc like the
Sega. Was it N64 or was it PlayStation?
No, it was PlayStation 1 that was first. Okay. So the Sega CD, basically you have a Genesis, right? And then all this other shit was coming out, and instead of them being like, we can either release new consoles or we can just keep building stuff on top of the one we already have. So like there was like Sega Mega thing, and you'd be able to stick like new cartridges in, and you stick a new thing in, which is like, this is a disc based thing that you stick onto your Genesis that plays the games you already like but in better graphics. And that was one of them.
Oh, okay. Well, that's cool. I would love to maybe play this game and other video games.
We can try and get past the first fucking mission, but I'll tell you, it's hard.
But we should definitely review some video games for this series.
Sure.
Don't you think?
I've got the hookup on that.
Because there were quite a few. I even played a few Batman the Animated Series.
Yeah, Batman Rise of Xin Tao.
Oh yeah,
like, that.
Or like wasn't there Batman Vengeance as well? Wasn't there one called
Batman Vengeance? Was one, but yep. Rise of is it Xin Tao?
I think it's Xin Tao. I think you're right. Yeah, or Tin Zhao. Is it Tin Zhao?
I don't know.
Xin Tao.
Two white guys butchering some. You know. Different name.
Well, let's talk about plans for this podcast and what we have coming. We're obviously going to review episodes just like Spider-Man the Animated Series. We're going to go episode per episode. I do have a question for you and to put you on the spot. Do you want to review the episodes in order or
yes.
You do? Okay, because the difference here is that Spider-Man, the episode's connected. So
no, you got to do an order. Otherwise, like, if people are following along, they'd have to hop, skip, and jump all over the place, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess, but they're standalone episodes. They don't cross into one another unless they're two-parters, which
order.
Okay, I was just thinking because when it comes to Halloween time, bud, and Christmas time, we might not be on Christmas with the Joker, or we might not be on a Halloween-themed episode, which has, like, Almost Got Him has Halloween in it. And that would be a shame. So I was wondering, maybe do we allow for holiday time, or do we stick to when it was? And also, we're not going to stick to when it was released on TV, because that was all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to stick to the order that it was supposed to be in, which every DVD and like downloading streaming thing has, which is it has it in the order it was supposed to be. But when it came out on TV, it was different. Like The Cat and the Claw Part 1 was the first episode to ever air on TV, not on Leather Wings.
Mm.
I don't know why they changed it. I think it was because it had a female antagonist in it, and they wanted that instead of on Leather Wings. But yeah. All right. So you want to do it in order of what they have on the DVDs and all of that stuff.
Okay. Yes.
Will do. Sounds good. We obviously hope and want to interview people that worked on the show. And the way that we get to do that is, besides me reaching out to these people, is you, listeners, by rating and subscribing and commenting on this podcast. It really helps us grow in popularity. I'll probably have a much more scripted bit for this when we come to do the first episode. But yeah, you can find us already. We are on all socials. At Batman TAS Pod. That's Batman TAS for the animated series pod. Yeah.
I better give a follow then.
So we're on Instagram and Facebook with that. And then on Twitter, it's Batman TAS Pod 1 because someone took Batman TAS Pod. So I had to do Batman TAS Pod 1. God, that's going to be hard to say after a while. You can also email us at Batman TAS Pod at gmail.com. No, that's not it, bud. Is that Twitter?
Yeah.
What did I just say? Batman TAS
Pod 1. They only have 2 followers.
They're bastards. I know. So Batman TAS Pod 1 is
they're following one person.
They're bastards. They've taken a great handle that we deserve.
Did you really have to do TAS Pod 1? Like, you couldn't thought of a better, like, name?
I tried to do podcasts and it wouldn't let me do it because it was too many letters. It was one over it. So what else am I supposed to do? Batman TAS Pod is where it is everywhere else. So...
Batman TAS Pod 1. That's no good.
Well, you come up with a better one then, but it has to be Batman TAS Pod because that's where we are everywhere. So that's a lot of plugging we've just done because I've said Batman TAS Pod more than I would like.
Follow us at Batman TAS Pod 1. Because we're the number one podcast in Batman the animated series.
There you go.
That's why I'm a writer, bud.
So, of course,
the problem.
Of course, we want to interview people that worked on the show. And some writers that we interviewed on Spider-Man, the Animated Series podcast, happened to have worked on Batman, the Animated Series podcast. So I think that would be a great way to kind of start that those episodes and reach out to them again and bring them on for talking about Batman. Of course, we want to review the music, as we said. Take a retrospective look on all the toys and all the merchandise, because this show had a lot of it. And
yes, I remember.
They were amazing.
One of the big things for me was when we were kids in the UK and McDonald's had like the bike accessories for Batman, the animated series.
Yeah.
And I remember before I knew I was getting a bike for my birthday and I was gathering all of these different like knickknacks for the bike. I remember there was a Joker teeth like mirror and like
yes.
a bat horn and all this stuff. I remember, like, I finally got my training wheels off when I got on my bike and I fell over and I smashed my Joker, like, side mirror. And I was like, I'm never riding a bike again.
Do you know what's so interesting? Before, I forgot to mention this. You said, like, this show means obviously a lot to me and I watch it a lot. And it's just a big part of, like, just my entertainment. I don't know what I would refer it to, but it's in my remit constantly, right? This show. And it reminds me a lot of growing up in England before we moved to America. And when we moved to America, the new animated series was out that was airing the first 2 years of us living in America. And I remember watching that, but I also would always catch older episodes. And the thing was, is that because it reminded me of growing up in England and like, living where we lived and like being boys and just, you know, discovering like the show and Batman, the character and the toys and everything else. I would constantly watch this show and I still constantly watch this show because it reminds me of those times. And I really like looking back on that. Like it reminds me of being a kid in the best ways possible. Mm. Right. And I really love that.
Well, I can tell you how much it affected me. The first word I ever said was Batman because of the show.
That's right. That's right. Holy shit. That should have been at the top of the episode. Like, my first word was Batman.
Not mama or daddy or anything like that. I said Batman because we watched Batman the Animated Series so much.
So much.
And yours was shower.
And mine was shower.
Because yeah. Apparently you were afraid of showers.
I said I
drew. So who's the true fan here? You may watch it every year.
I drew you a bath. So we've got, we're going to take a look at video games, as we said, character designs. Of course, we're going to explore Bruce Timm's character designs. Can't wait to do that. Comic book influences on storylines in the show, set designs, vehicles and gadgets, how this show affected what came after in the world of Batman and DC. Movie reviews, both live action and animated. Of course, we'll review the animated versions from this show for movies. But I think we should take a look at some stuff that came before that influenced it, like Batman 89 and Batman Returns, and review some of those movies. I think that'd be great to deep dive into those and have a look at it.
Maybe.
We're going to do it.
Oh, God. I'm going to just sit there for like 2 hours and gush over a movie that I love.
Yes, there's nothing wrong with that. People like to hear that.
No one wants to hear that.
You don't want to hear that, but you'll be surprised how many people like to hear that. So we'll definitely bring that up at some point. We'll talk about our favorite Batman stories from the show, but also from the comics as well. The influences this show had on other Batman stories that came afterwards. The influences this show had on the world. We're going to have some fun little segments like we do in Spider-Man. I was thinking like, I am Vengeance, I am the Night, I am Quiz Game. We'll have a little quiz game each time, which obviously, like with
not
Spider-Man.
Riddle, like a riddle me this.
That's so much better.
Or anything like that.
That's why you're the writer. Why didn't I think of the Riddler? I am Vengeance,
I am the Night, I am Quiz Game.
Oh God! You know, I was writing all of this morning, and guess what? I had a Riddler episode. Riddler's Reform was the episode I was trying to think of earlier as well. That's what was on, and I didn't think of like, hey, it's a quiz game with questions, and who asks questions in the Batman universe besides the Riddler? Fuck! You know what? I'm gonna definitely edit that. So we're going to have a quiz game called Riddle Me This.
Sounds great.
Well, I ask
really appropriate title as well. Wow, who thought of that?
I'm not going to edit that out. I'll just keep that in. And then I was thinking that this show, when we used to watch it, we would always go, God, that's so Batman. Or that's the, like, God, look how good Batman looks there. And we say that a lot when we watch the show. So I think it'd be almost fun to have a little segment, which is just the best Batman moment of each episode. You know what I mean?
Call it That's So Batman.
That's So Batman, yeah. And just shout out what we think is the That's So Batman.
What was the most Batman-iest Batman thing that happened in this episode of Batman?
Absolutely.
Like I said, the shot of him in the episode when he's like in silhouette in the greenhouse, that's so Batman.
Yeah. He does that in The Laughing Fish as well, where like he tethers down into the aquarium and he's just a dark figure with eyes, which this show did.
Why don't we call it Love That Batman? Because then it's like Love That Joker.
Oh, this is amazing. Love That. But sorry, I'm typing that down so I don't forget.
Have a little jingle of Love That Batman.
Love That Batman. Yeah, that'd be good. I'm definitely going to do something like that. Obviously, as we go along, like someone asked me recently, because we do a Kingpin and Smythe scenario in Spider-Man, the animated series, where these two characters get up to hijinks. We have listeners write in.
Explain what it is. Like it's a skit, basically.
It's a skit. So
you and I pretend to be Kingpin and Smythe from that show.
Yeah.
It's beloved by listeners and we both enjoy it as well. So yeah, we figured we've got to do some sort of skit on every episode.
We got to do a skit and we were trying to think, but then we realized that Kingpin and Smythe came naturally when we were just doing the show.
Yeah.
So I think that will kind of happen as well. But yeah, if listeners of Spider-Man have any ideas and maybe skits or scenarios, because Kingpin and Smythe scenario was originally born because someone wrote in and went, I think you should do this every week because you just did this skit recently and I thought it was hilarious. And then I took that suggestion and made it a whole segment of the show. So yeah, maybe the same thing will happen. So if listeners have any ideas on what we should do for a skit, I think that would be great. You can again find us online at Batman TAS Pod or on Twitter at Batman TAS Pod 1.
The number one Batman animated series podcast. That's already a bit.
And you can email batmantaspod@gmail.com as well. So yeah, this will be coming out both on our Spider-Man podcast thread, but also on its own thread, which will be tagged in. So you'll be able to listen over there.
The Spider-Man pod may not be completely over. There might be opportunities to interview new people from that show, etc. Or we might return on a holiday special or whatnot, you know. But yeah, if you enjoy what we do, then it will continue via Batman, the animated series podcast, the number one Batman animated series.
The number one.
Hence why it's at Batman TAS Pod 1. Not numeral 1, just 1.
It is the new one.
I meant it's not O-N-E. I meant it doesn't have like the numeric symbol is what I meant to say. It is not Batman TAS Pod O-N-E. It's the numeral one.
Wrap that up. Oh god, that's brilliant.
And that's only on Twitter, by the way. Don't go looking for that on other social medias. It's an exclusive handle just for a specific social media platform.
Oh shit. All right, well, I think that's a great way to end it. I think we've covered a hell of a lot of just our love. We clearly love this show. We can't wait to get started. As we said, we'll continue with Spider-Man and continue reviewing episodes until we've completed all the episodes. We plan to come back to this show in the new year. I wonder if we'll be able to wait that long. I feel like my itch to want to do a Batman. No,
I wonder if you'll be able to wait that long.
I just said.
I'm fine. You said we.
Oh, okay. I did say we, yeah.
I'm fine. I can wait.
Can you?
Yeah.
Because the second episode of the show is Christmas with the Joker. So I was thinking.
Maybe. All right. How about.
Listen. I've got a suggestion.
No, I've got a suggestion as well.
I know what you're going to say.
On Leather Wings is for Halloween.
Yes.
Christmas to Joker is for Christmas.
Yeah, baby. I'm in. I'm so in. Okay, great. All right, so we'll come back for Halloween on Leather Wings, and then, of course, our second episode, Christmas with the Joker, for Christmas, and then we will be continuing a regular basis of releasing episodes for this show, reviewing episodes and covering it, and just doing an entire deep dive on this amazing show. So is there anything you want to add, Bud, before we jet off?
You can follow me
at... Oh, fuck! Plug us. Oh man, I was not prepared for the plugs. I'm sorry. Yeah, okay, go for it. Plug yourself.
You can follow me anywhere at Robson INK. No numerals. It's all the same on every social media platform. Robson INK.
You're goddamn right. Yeah, go check out Will and see what he's working on. Get an update look into the life of a comic book artist and writer.
I'm a professional.
He is a professional. And you can follow me at Chef Alex Robson on all platforms, including YouTube, where I do a cooking show where I even made Batman's favorite food in one of the episodes. Surprising. It's something that you'd never expect. And also I do movie tie-in promotional items as well. I'm thinking about doing a Batman Forever burger soon because that movie that movie means a lot to me.
Well, Halloween's coming up and that's happy Halloween.
Yes, it is. All right. Well, is there anything again that you want to add before we jet off? Because I always feel bad if I'm going to cut you off from doing anything else. You want to plug Urban Legends again?
Yes, September 13th. On shelves, Batman Urban Legends issue 19. It has many stories in it, but there is a 22-page story by me, drawn by me, not written by me, and it's Batman vs. Killer Croc, and it's the best I've ever arted in all my art. So,
yeah. Can you tease anything about the plot of it, or is it just Batman vs. Killer Croc is all you can say?
Sewers.
Sewers. No, don't sue us. Sewers.
Sewers.
All right.
And that's issue 19, not number one. 19.
The numerals 19.
The numeral 19.
Oh god. Well, that's all the time we've got for this week. Join us next time where we'll continue talking all things Batman the animated series. Until then, I've been Alex Robson.
I've been Will Robson.
And remember that all podcast hosts are nothing but a superstitious, cowardly lot.
Oh, okay. Switching it up now.
You like that one?
To, right? Yeah. Great responsibility comes to great podcasts. I'm just trying to think now. So you went Superstitious Caterpillar, which is good.
You like that one? Oh, so you're gonna wing.
I'm trying to see if on the fly if there is a and remember.
No, you can't do that with this, Kingpin. I love how that was a beautiful close and you're keeping it going now by just mumbling and rambling, and you're not gonna come up with anything better. It took me a little while to come up with that one.
We are Vengeance, we are the Night, we are Podcast.
That's not bad.
Yours is better.
Thanks. Vote on it, listeners. Go to all of
us. I am Podcast.
The numeral one.
And remember, we are Podcast One.
The best one. All right. Goodbye.
Bye.